I want to tell you about a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. It's about interesting family stories and the truth behind them. It's available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Our Ukrainian mama bear, my much better half, backed by popular demand. The most popular Mihailu in Elma, New York, in the house, Ashley Mihailu. You are live on the air. How are you, sweetheart?
Hi, honey.
So if you're on the air... If you're on the air, who's watching the kids?
We have a family friend over.
You didn't.
They're not on transit road.
Hey, they're not running in traffic. Did you think about NyQuil at all or no?
No NyQuil. You and your jokes. If you all haven't gotten the hint already, Stefan loves dad jokes, and they might be new to you, but they're very old to me. So I already know what jokes he's going to. Before he says them, we call them his Stefanisms.
Isn't that brutal though? Because like, if someone comes up to me for the first time, like, "Hey, aren't you?" and you've heard it like a million times, you probably want to like stick a fork in my eye and like muzzle me.
That's your thing.
But for that person though, it's the first time I'm meeting them. So like,
I think you're hilarious. Yes.
But I also can't be a jerk, and you will vouch for me. Like, but you are with me all the time when I meet people for the first time, whether they recognize me from TV or radio or politics. I can't be a jerk. Just because it's the right thing to do. Number one, but also two, you'll vouch for me. I'm never rude, crude, or be like, "Hey, you know."
No, you're always very friendly and respectful, and I think it shocks the other side of the aisle.
Well, is there anything, before we get to the nitty gritty, is there anything I need to get, like, pick up? I got to stop at Delta Sonic on my way home. I'm, like, almost out of gas.
No, but I'm just giving you a heads up. Victoria is still napping. So you
She's
know
still
how
sleeping?
Correct. She threw a huge temper tantrum coming out of the car after picking up the boys and then ended up going on the couch and passing out. So, yeah, we are in big trouble for the rest of the night. So you better take some 5-hour energy coffee. You know what our night's going to look like. And if you're a parent or a grandparent, you know what those late naps do to your family.
Absolutely
so
brutal.
We try to avoid it, blast the music, do the dance party. She was not having it. So, yeah.
She reminds me of my mother. I call it the Arlene gene. She's a social butterfly. Your mother, too, and you. But, hey, someone on the text board said, for me, I don't know the answer to this, how long were you on Wegovy to lose 60 pounds? Do you have any idea when I started that, the fat shot?
Oh, I don't. Hanya might know, who's in the house watching the kids, Chichi Hanya. I think it might be a year. I have to look back at maybe right after Joshua's wedding in Maryland. I think it's probably a year.
But you love me when I was you love me when I was fat, Steph.
I met you when you were your heaviest, and you joke about your khaki pants and New Balance. And I remember talking to my full disclosure, one of my girlfriends. She's like, "Ashley, clothing could be changed. Don't you worry." no, I'm not that vain. But no, I met you when you were at your heaviest, and. Yeah, well, Govee has been life-changing, and a lot of people, I know that's not what we were going to talk about, but a lot of people have a lot of opinions, but I've been there with you for, you know, over 10 years now, and when I say you have done it all, from personal trainers to, you know, the gym to everything, I think some people, I'm no doctor, but, you know, there's a reason why OBGYNs have prescribed that for women that have PCOS. Hormone imbalances. I think some people just need that based on their body chemistry. So I prefer you not to be leaving me and dead at a younger age. So it has been life-changing for us. So.
Yeah, I'm not getting a candlelight vigil if I drop dead right now. It's kind of like, well, he was fat. All right, he went. So let's get down to the nitty-gritty because I think they should give us a show. Whether you and I do like a politics and parenting podcast.
I love it.
Or WBEN gives us a show because I need like another job, like I need a hole in my head.
I agree. I mean, we've gotten that feedback from people just about marriage, parenting. And like I've mentioned before, I've trained in various parenting, you know, perspectives, programs. So, you know, I'm all for it.
So
people like to hear what we have to say.
Exactly. So let's get on to brass tacks because you texted me when I was talking about the issue gender mutilation, kids, young kids getting that surgery, and you basically text me. And I want to hear your thought on that, because you had mentioned that, hey, kids' brains just aren't developed at that age.
Yeah, prefrontal cortex, they said, you know, decision-making, amygdala. Children, regardless, you know, gender-affirming aside, regardless, children do not have the brain development to make those decisions about their life, right? Whether that's what they eat, you know, our children will eat sugar all day if we let them, right? So it's really up to the parent to you know, be there for their children and talk about, you know, right from wrong and not let them make impulsive decisions.
Especially a permanent decision about something as serious as going through a transition in a gender surgery.
Yeah, yeah. And kids are already, you know, it's hard being a kid nowadays. You get bullying. A lot of the kids, they know they're different, right? Like, I see a lot of the kids in early childhood and some of the trauma they've been through, or just, you know, could be neurodivergent, and they know that they're different. It's difficult, because then you are in and around other people that might affirm, right, your beliefs. And obviously that person won that lawsuit, and there's doctors that affirm that and parents that affirm that. And it's a touchy subject.
Well, let's change gears a little bit now, because again, I do want to talk politics and parenting with, like, my amazing wife, Ashley, who's live with me on News Radio 930 WBEN. Like, I'm not joking when I say this to people. They're like, hey, why did you pick Ashley? Like, why did I pick you? Like, why did I attracted you? Why did I want to marry you? And I'm serious when I say this, that you chose social work and mm-hmm. that you have a brain and a heart, because you're a Republican. You're a leaning conservative social worker. And that's true. You have a heart and a brain. How tough was that, being right-leaning in a field that is known for having, like, extreme radical progressive radical women?
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, so let me go back to, you know, being a grad student. I think there were just a few of us that were registered Republican. And I just want to, you know, my journey of politics, where, yes, I am a registered Republican, but I voted all different, you know, all sides of the aisle. I think at one point I looked at you and said, maybe I'm a libertarian. I don't even know where I am. I don't fit with the MAGA Republicans. I don't fit with the liberals. I have a lot of different viewpoints, you know, my own lived experience. And I think that I had a different perspective, because you're in a field, right, where I have a code of ethics that I follow and take a human rights trauma-informed perspective, but I saw things differently. You know, I spent my whole career mainly on the East Side, working with families that have trauma in their homes. And I saw, and I was a director, assistant director, I've ran grants. And I saw things differently. I saw that throwing money at an issue is not always a solution. Having the government run things is not always a solution. There were things that I saw as a solution that I wanted to do, but I couldn't because of the parameters of grants, right? And I do think the government should be a safety net. But again, it starts in early childhood. It starts with attachment. And I saw that the system was broken. And actually, the older I've gotten, the more I've gone into the field of social work, became apparent. I do believe I've gone more to the right, if that's what you say, or anti-government. But I've kind of been all over the place.
But I want to hop in and talk about the fact that you basically almost had to be in the closet, though, as a conservative or as a Republican in social work. I mean, how was that when you're in meetings and you're hearing this left-wing ideology? Where did you really feel as like, hey, I got to shut my mouth?
Yeah, I mean, there were some things that I did believe in and some things I didn't believe in, and you couldn't speak up. And I also, you know, you also have to add being married to you, right? And
what?
You being an elected official, you know, I would get some heat with that, and it would be very confusing. People would be like, how does that work? You know, how, and I didn't openly talk about all of my views, but, you know, that things have changed in the field. And I've even talked to some of my other social worker friends that have left the field. Things have changed because it is no more liberal and Democrat and views that I have agreed with. The leftists, that's what they call themselves now, have taken over. They have ransacked, hijacked the party. And I knew about a year ago I was done between burnout, compassion fatigue, and some things I just could not believe in anymore. I knew I was done with the field.
And weren't you at a conference when you were like, okay, this is it. I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom. I'm done.
Yeah. Yeah. There was I remember this was kind of one of the icing on the cake. We were getting ready for a national conference, early childhood conference. And I remember one of the Zooms, we were supposed to be talking about what the conference looked like. And one of the Zooms, they had somebody from the CIA, FBI, they were increasing security. And the whole Zoom was about one of the board members in Utah. And basically using scare tactics about how conservatives, how Republicans, basically my own husband, my own family, even some of my viewpoints were big, scary people to the point that we needed extra, they needed extra security. It was an hour long Zoom about this. And I remember looking at you and thinking, I'm done. This is a level of delusion that I just cannot be on board with anymore.
But your job, like, I can't do what I do as a small business owner. I cannot do what I do without you being a stay-at-home mom. I just can't. I mean, remember how hard it was when I was on the vape campaign and you were working and watching the kids and I was traveling the country?
So
I mean,
much.
Your job, what you do is far more important than anything I'll ever do. I mean, do you share that feeling?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, too, I was done running the rat race of life. Like, you were working so much and we were playing Tetris and I just didn't want to miss, you know, being home with the kids and being there for them. And I'm busier now that two are in school, I'm busier now than ever than, you know, working full time and then being home and having a second job.
But also too, getting back to the social work too, because wasn't there, I remember if you shared the story with me today, basically wasn't along the lines of like, when you were in the business, every person in social work was like, oh, Donald Trump's making these cuts. They're cutting this, they're cutting that.
I know.
And it never happened.
Yeah. Yeah. It's scare tactics. It's, you know, what I feel like I got sucked into is that hypervigilance of being so scared every day and just the paranoia that people experience. And you know what? That's their lived experience. And unfortunately, I've been called privileged, right? Since I'm not in that anymore and having that hypervigilance, I know there are people and that's their lived experience that they experience every day. But there is a level of delusion that I've experienced with certain coworkers in certain parts of the field.
Privileged. You were making peanuts as a social worker. I was making peanuts in government. We were selling clothes. I mean, just a few years ago, we're selling clothes for money.
Yeah. Yeah. And who wants to start off making, what, $30,000 a year as a social worker and nonprofit as a supervisor? I mean, you want to talk about helping families and talk about the money that's not in direct care and social work. It's all about relationship. And we are paying social workers just like early childhood. We are paying people that are helping the brains of children and families. It's that attachment, our youngest citizens in society, we are paying them minimum wage. Minimum wage. There needs to be change.
It's bananas. And then, of course, now it's the parenting part. Victoria crashed with me last night, and you wound up crashing in Victoria's bed because we sleep in the same bed with our kids. Yeah. I'm like, where's Ashley? And then I got Victoria like literally kicking me like all night long. But can you talk about in the last time that we have, honey, about why, not judging anyone that does the cry it out method. I think that's horrible. But like from a parent, I'm not talking you as a social worker. I mean, as a loving mom, why it's so important to have our kids in our bed with us.
Yeah. Again, it goes back to that attachment and being, you know, anti sleep training culture. If any person is interested, Beyond Sleep Training Project, if you look them up on Facebook, I was a mom with my first baby who never slept. And when I tell you he was up every 45 minutes, he was up every 45 minutes, and everything I learned went out the window that I knew about early childhood. And it We have a square peg child in a circular hole of a education system, and you know it, and nothing worked, and I felt so alone, and all of this advice, you know, people had advice, and none of it made sense. So we definitely took more of an attachment biology perspective. But we here in America, you know, we have this sleep training culture that occurs, and there's a lot of beliefs about being separate from your child.
Yeah, we are not separate from our children. I love being with you. I love being with our kids. And in all seriousness, do I need to pick up anything on the ride home?
No.
Like, do you need anything? Coffee. And what do we have going on tonight?
Emmy has soccer, and I think I'm having Victoria come so she can run around.
Yeah, well, she's got to burn off some energy if she's still sleeping.
Yeah, I got to get her up. It's going to be a late night. So.
Well, I love you. I love you so much.
Love you too.
I'm not just saying this to, like, be kicked on the couch or sleep in the garage, but, like, I think you're amazing. I love you more than life itself, and I'm blessed that you're my
wife. I love you too, and I'm telling you, we need a show because I have so much to talk about in a couple minutes isn't going to do it justice. So
awesome. That's Ashley Mihailu, my much better half. I love you, sweetheart. I'll see you at home. Thank this you. Is Stefan Mihailu.
How We Made Your Mother is a rewatch podcast that looks back episode by episode at the hit TV show How I Met Your Mother. It's hosted by me, Josh Radner, along with series co-creator and my friend Craig Thomas.
Follow How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.